attention, please. Good afternoon. I'm Judge Russell, the presiding judge of the First Judicial District Court of the State of Nevada, and it includes Story County. First of all, congratulations to those of you who won your election and are being sworn in today. I always make this comment, and it's very important. When you assume public office, you assume a public responsibility. That's a responsibility not to yourself, but to the public as a whole. You owe an obligation to serve the public, vote accordingly, and do what's right for the general public. And the other thing I would remind everybody that's being sworn in today is to be sure and go read the ethics and government law and the code in respect to that. You're required to comply with that. If you don't, you're going to have an ethics violation against you, and they're not fun. I used to be chairman of the Nevada State Ethics Commission in respect of the matters that came in front of us, and they take it very serious. So I encourage all of you who have been elected to be sure and read the code, understand the requirements of the code, and abide accordingly in respect to that. At this time, would Jack Duffy please come forward? I ask you to please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, please state your name.
I, Jack McGuffey.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
And the Constitution and government of the State of Nevada.
And the Constitution of the State of Nevada.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Whether domestic or foreign.
Whether domestic or foreign.
And that I will bear true faith.
And that I will bear true faith.
Allegiance and loyalty to the same.
And allegiance and loyalty to the same.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law.
Of any state notwithstanding.
Of any state notwithstanding.
That I will well and faithfully perform.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
All the duties of the office of.
All the duties of the office of
Commissioner District 2.
Commissioner District 2.
On which I'm about to enter.
Of which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
At this time, can we have the assessor, Jana Sheldon, recorder, Jen Chapman, clerk, treasurer, Vanessa Stevens, District Attorney Ann Langer, and Sheriff Gerald Antonoro. Please come forward.
I'll get to the sheriff there. There we go. Again, congratulations to all of you on being elected in respect to that. As I go through the oath, what we're going to do is I'll say aye, and then we'll start here. We'll go down the list and you can state your name so you don't all have to do it at once. Please raise your right hand to be sworn. Aye.
Aye, Vanessa Stevens.
Aye, Jana
Seddon. Aye, Jen Chapman.
Aye, Gerald Antonoff.
Aye, Ann Langer.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
Constitution and government of the United States.
In the Constitution and government of the State of Nevada.
In the Constitution and government of the State of Nevada.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Whether domestic or foreign.
Whether domestic or foreign.
And I will bear true faith.
And I will bear true faith.
Allegiance and loyalty to the same.
Allegiance and loyalty to the same.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law.
Of any state notwithstanding.
And I notwithstanding.
And I will well and faithfully perform.
And I will well and faithfully perform.
All the duties of the office of.
All the duties of the office of clerk treasurer.
All the duties of the office of assessor.
All the duties of the office of the recorder.
All the duties of the office of sheriff.
All the duties of the office of district attorney.
On which I'm about to enter.
On which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. We now have the school board members, Jeff Nevin, Don Miller, and Sharon Snell. Please come forward.
Good afternoon.
moment.
We'll do the same thing. Please raise your right hand to be sworn. Aye. Please state your name.
Aye, Jeff Miller.
Aye, Sharon Smith. Aye, Don Miller.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
And the Constitution and government of the State of Nevada.
And the Constitution and government of the State of Nevada.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Whether domestic or foreign.
Whether domestic or foreign.
And that I will bear true faith.
And that I will bear true faith.
Allegiance and loyalty to the same.
Allegiance and loyalty to the same.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law.
Of any state notwithstanding.
Of any state notwithstanding.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
All the duties of the office of school board member.
All the duties of the office of school board member.
On which I'm about to enter.
Of which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
We will now have the Tahoe Reno Industrial General Improvement District members, David Blackford and Debbie Blackford, and the Canyon General Improvement District members, Pete Bitteretti, and Ralph Trotter, if they're here. Any of them here? None of them are here.
No, you got two.
Oh, okay. Raise your right hand to be sworn. Aye. Please state your name.
Aye, Ralph Trotter.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
Constitution and government of the United States.
And the Constitution and government of the State of Nevada.
Constitution and government of the State of Nevada.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Whether domestic or foreign.
Whether domestic or foreign.
And that I will bear true faith,
allegiance,
and loyalty to the same. Any ordinance, resolution, or law. Of any state notwithstanding. And that I will well and faithfully perform. All the duties of the office. Of Canyon General Improvement District member.
Of Canyon General District member.
On which I'm about to enter.
In which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you.
Can we move 20 up? Can we move 20?
Well, she was here, but she's out of the hallway.
That's just the plan. We got two other legal counsel here.
Okay.
Can we move 20 up right after the end of the consent agenda? Sherry, have the docs.
Okay.
Right before 14, then?
Yes, please.
Number 20. Got it.
Good morning, everyone. Call this County Commissioners meeting of Monday, January the 5th order. It'd be a good time if anybody has any PDAs or cell phones, maybe put them on silent. It wouldn't disrupt anybody's testimony. And if you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Turnout we have here today. Happy New Year to everyone. Hope everyone had a nice holiday season. All right, here we go. We're going to start off here on item number 4. This is discussion of possible action, the approval of the agenda for this day, January the 5th, 2015. Staff have any...
We request, due to scheduling, that we move item 20 up to immediately after the consent agenda, please.
All right. Any other items?
No, sir.
Anything from the audience? Any questions on today's agenda?
Excuse me?
Was that 20? 20 will come immediately after the consent agenda before.
Okay. Hearing nothing else, I'll ask for a motion for approval of today's agenda.
I move to approve today's agenda.
We move to approve today's agenda, January 5, 2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. This time we'll move on to item number 5. This is election of the chairman and the vice chairman to the Story County Board of Commissioners for the term of 1 year pursuant to Story County Code 2.04.008.
I move that we elect Marsha McBride to chair the commission once again. Thank you. Wonderful job, and I'd like to very much see you do that this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilbert.
I think Commissioner McBride's done an awesome job, and I would second that motion.
Thank you, too. It's been moved to second to elect Marshall McBride as the chairman of the Story County Commission for 1 year term. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along now to the election of the vice chairman. At this time, I would like to nominate Lance Gilman as the vice chair for the ensuing year.
I'll second that motion.
Very good. It's been moved and seconded to elect Lance Gilman, vice chair of the Story County Board of Commissioners for the term of 1 year. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the motion carries. Thank you. Moving along now to item number 6. This is appointments to serve on state, county, and regional boards.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, once a year and sometimes periodically in between, we fill the various boards and advisory committees that we sit on, both at staff levels and elected official levels. And as the staff report indicates, we've given careful thought to this, particularly with the departure of Commissioner Chauvangan, determine who might best be suited for these. So the following appointments are requested for you to approve en masse. Under Safety Committee, we prefer to defer that, as we did last year, to the Safety Committee itself. Currently, that's Shannon Gardner as our chair and Vanessa Stevens as our vice chair. For a legislative representative, we'd recommend appointing Marshall McBride, together with all others, including staff and the other commissioners, on an as-needed basis. This was previously done by Mr. Chauvangan. For the Historic Fourth Ward School Board and Museum, Jack McGuffey is eager to work with those folks, so we're recommending him to that position. For NACO, we're recommending Jack McGuffey. These are basically taking most of Bill's assignments that he did an exemplary job with and passing them over to Commissioner McGuffey. And we'd also like to designate Austin Osborne as a secondary. Now that I have three commissioners with full-time jobs, we anticipate we'll probably have an absence or two from a couple of these meetings. Nevada Works, this would be Vice Chairman Gilman with Austin as a secondary. There's no change there. The Lockwood Senior Center commands and deserves a whole bunch of people. So we'd like to recommend that Commissioner Gilman, Sherry Nevin, and Maggie Lather continue to work with us. Five folks.
You skipped over Virginia City Senior
Excuse
Center.
Excuse me. Thank you very much. For the Virginia City Senior Center, we'd like to recommend that Sherry Nevin continue to work with our fine folks up here. At St. Mary's Arts Center, again, Commissioner McGuffey has expressed the willingness and a desire to get involved in the historic treasures, so we recommend his appointment. For the Western Nevada Development District, Dean Haymore has served for many years and is currently their president and has done a great job, and we recommend he continues on his appointment there. For the Carson Water Subconservancy District, Austin toughs it out through many, many nightly meetings talking about water. We recommend he be appointed to that again. For the State Land Use Planning Advisory Council, this is actually a governor's appointment, but it always helps when we go to the governor if the Board of Commissioners has endorsed the recommendation. We'd like that to continue to be Austin Osborne, but also appoint Desi Redmond as a secondary. That used to be Dean Haymore. It's more of a planning group. Natural Resource Conservation District, USDA, Dean Haymore has been active in that for several years, and we're suggesting that he stay on that. Truckee River Flood Management Authority, this is a technical advisory committee. We're recommending that Commissioner Gilman, along with Austin, Osborne, and Desi Redmond as alternates, that stays the same. Comstock Historic District, we're recommending that be Marshall McBride, following in his father's footsteps from many years ago. That remains the same. Nevada Commission for the Reconstruction of the V&T Railroad. Jack expressed a fondness and an affinity for trains and promised to carry on the good work that Commissioner Chauvangan did, so Commissioner McGuffey would be our recommendation. Virginia City Tourism Commission. I'm pleased to say we actually have two Virginia City-based business people on this commission, and this would be the commission designation. Staff is recommending Commissioner Gilman as the designate. He attends essentially all the meetings, as does Commissioner McBride, and as, of course, did Commissioner Chauvangan. We'd also like to confirm the continued appointments of Scott Jolkover, Molly Burnett, Angelo Petrini, and Ron Gallagher, and there are no changes there from the last time you acted.
We always try to assign one commissioner to have their hands on in the fire and public works, either in my absences or just, you know, for good work practices. So this would be the oversight of the fire and public works work groups. We recommend that that be Marshall McBride, since he's right up here in town and has access to essentially all the facilities. Economic development, I think we heard a lot about that at the last commission meeting. We have truly flourished, I think, in the last 2 years under Commissioner Gilman's leadership, so we're recommending that he continue to head those efforts, both on a county effort and as representation on both our EDON, Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, and Northern Nevada Development Authority. Those remain the same. And number 19, there is an addition that was left off this sheet, and that just got missed in the transference of paperwork during the holidays. This is the Story County Wildlife Advisory Board. Previously, Denny Dotson had sat on that and needs to leave that seat. So we're recommending that Rob Dufresne replace him, and then we're confirming the continued appointments of Greg Bumhess, Jim Clark, Rich Backus, and the one I omitted off the list was Greg Hess Sr. So those are staff's recommendations for the 2015 committee assignments.
Thank you, Mr. Whitten.
No.
I move to approve the appointments to serve on the state, county, and regional board as outlined by staff.
I'll second that motion.
Very well. It's been moved and seconded to approve the appointments as put forward. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Thank you. Moving along now to item number 7. This is discussion and possible action, the approval of minutes for November the 12th, 2014. Anybody have any questions on the minutes for November the 12th? Hearing none, ask for a motion.
I move to approve the minutes for November the 12th, 2014.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes for November the 12th, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Very good. Moving along now to item number 8. This is discussion of possible action approval of the minutes for December the 2nd of 2014. Anyone have anything on this? Hearing none, call for the motion.
I move to approve the minutes for December the 2nd, 2014.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded approval of the minutes for December the 2nd, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Moving along now to the consent agenda. Does anybody have any questions regarding today's consent agenda?
Janet House. Okay.
Ms. House.
Thank you. Happy New Year to everyone. My name is Janet Houts, Only Houts from Mark Twain. I'd like item number 9 to 11 to move to the discussion section. Thank you.
Excuse me, number 9 through 11 or number 9 and 11?
9 to 11. 9, 10, 11.
9, 10, and 11?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, at this time, looking for approval of the consent agenda. Everything with the exception of 9, 10, and 11.
I move to approve the consent agenda except for item number 9, item number 10, and number 11.
I'll second that motion.
Been moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. For those three exemptions, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay, let's go back and we can review number 9. Ms. House.
Thank you. My name is Janet Hartz again. As I was looking on the item number 9, for the approval of payrolls and accounts payable. But the total accounts payable is 1,535,000 plus, while the payroll is 875,000 plus. Total come out to be about 2.4 million. My questions now, as I understand, these are all the expenses for, by, paid by the counties. I also understand that the commissioner's expenses is part in here, where the commissioner paid the traveling, hotel, entertainment, is all in this, is included in here. Since I have asked how much the expenses incurred by the commissioners, I was not able to get the answer. Now, you are approving these expenses of what you spend too. Is it ethically right on that basis? I just want to ask.
Your question whether this is ethical or not? Is that what your question is on item number 9?
Yes. Item number 9 is it ethical to approve your own expenses? And how much is that,
Mr.
for
Ishman? I'll attempt to answer and then defer to counsel. This is the way we have always processed it. There is no higher authority in the county other than the governing board of commissioners. So it is a routine practice in local governments across the state, and I would propose to you that it would be perfectly acceptable and ethical. It's in the public purview. It's a public document.
Do you have a suggestion as who else should approve our expenditures?
Well, you as always, when you have a checks, like for example, that you have the check for the parking, you identify out separately, and you excuse yourself on that basis, and the commissioners, other commissioner approve on that basis.
And that's logistically idiotic. So I'm going to tell you again, this process goes through the vouchers, the receipts are generated to Jesse Fain and my office. I approve the expenditure as the chief executive, and then those are audited and approved yet again by our comptroller. So there's not any practicable way to be much more public than this process.
Okay. Would you like to move along to item number 10?
All right. So you're going to just accept it is then. I will just bring up to the local department, local finance government then, and let them take on note on that. Now, number 10. As I was looking at the Treasury report, there is a journal entry of 900 and... can't remember now. Where's that, my report? Okay. I don't know whether it's 78,000 or 970,000. My question is this. This is a journal entry. So how can a journal entry be issued in a bank transaction? Are you saying when you have a cash in hand, you go journal entry, where is the transaction? How do you go? I don't see anything. You have a check, you issue a check itself, but not a journal entry. How can a bank account have a journal entry? It's a journal voucher. So it's a journal entry. So I have asked, I just asked with Vanessa today to give me the list of these journal entries.
I don't know if our comptroller is able to address this. These appear on page 1. It starts out with health insurance 192. It's a journal voucher entry for movement of funds in our Wells Fargo accounts here.
Yeah, it probably was because of the last commissioner's meeting. There was items in the town of Goldale, town of Virginia City. That had to be moved. It's nothing more than an accounting requirement that the total cash is there, and yes, there is a journal entry to a cash account. It's a bank account, Janet, and
Consequently, that journal entry was correct, and hopefully the treasurer's report is correct.
So you're saying that with bank account itself, not issuing any checks at all, you still move the money away? How can it be? Your bank is bank.
The bank account, the Wells Fargo bank account, has several funds within that. And several of them are between either the fire fund or, at this point in time, town of Gold Hill, town of Virginia City. And, this is this. If you're going to ask the question, okay, prior to the meeting, it would behoove you probably to ask somebody prior to this thing so they could get an answer for you, because what you're asking now is something that has been done, but you could have
satisfied something
you prior to this, Janet.
Something has been done in what sense? You say when you're moving a bank account, you can have one account here, cash one, cash two. When you move one, cash one to cash two, your cash two increase. When you reduce cash one, your cash account in one is reduced. So
okay, at this,
when you
this
come
time,
to eight.
At this time, we're going to have to move on to item number 11, because when you're asking us questions, there's no way for this board to do the research into your question with the information that we have before us right now. And I'm not willing to adjourn this meeting to run downstairs.
No, I'm not asking you to adjourn the meeting.
I'm just asking you,
can I get the answer?
Perhaps if you had put a request in this morning, we could have had this information for you right before the meeting even started. But we don't have the resources in this meeting to do the research for you to give you an answer. You're asking us a question right here. We can't give you an answer to your question.
Well, and I might add, just if I may, Mr. Sherman, this question actually comes at probably the best opportunity I think we've had in a long time. Our independent auditor happens to be here. I'm not going to ask him to come up and address this, because I think, again, it's just semantics on how we move money back and forth. I could argue, for days, but this is a full room with a large agenda. We move money electronically all the time between accounts. Our auditor looks at all journal entries, and oddly enough, the former director of the Local Government Finance Committee, Tom Gransberry, in the Local Government Finance Division of Taxation, happens to be here as well. We're basically arguing over differences of opinion that are ill-founded.
So, with that being said, at this time we're going to move on to item number 11, please. So, if you'll address your concerns for item 11.
Barchi was willing to talk if you want.
Sir, did you want to say something?
Rick.
Yes, sir. One of the more important things.
Come on up to the podium, please, and just that way Vanessa can get everything on record. So, as usual, please identify yourself for the record.
Yeah, my name is Rick Barchi. I'm a senior auditor for David Pringle, CPA. And yeah, this type of a transaction is not an uncommon transaction. You can't look at just the transaction alone and make a determination. The banks are all reconciled on a monthly basis, and you will find that explanation for any of these transfers or anything will be in the bank reconciliations.
Thank you.
Can I ask him a question, please?
No.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
All questions,
since you are restricted me from asking questions.
All questions need to be directed to the board.
That's why I'm asking you directly and so, to him. That's all. So you are restricting my rights.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
We're going to move on to item number 11, please.
Yes, you are.
Janet, for my desk, I would appreciate very much from now on if you would send a letter or a formal request based on your questions, not to the podium here where we don't have the resources in front of us.
I have
two. No, listen. I am formally requesting that you submit your questions to our comptroller for a written response for your understanding of how we're doing business. If you're suggesting that we're doing business inappropriately, then I'm sure he'll listen to that. But we don't have time for that right here at this moment in time because we don't have the resources. We're not being rude, but we're taking a lot of time on things that you should have pre-researched before you came to that podium. And I would really appreciate you do that in the future.
So can I talk now?
Commissioner Gilman, yes, if you move on to item number 11.
No, please. I want to. I'll just get back to Mr. Commissioner Lance Gilman's questions, remarks. I have asked question letters 2012. Until today, I still has not get the answer. You tell me that to give me time for that, for you all, because you don't have a staff. I understand that. Now, it's already moved. 1.5 years. I still have not received it.
Ms. House, would you like to move on to number 11?
Mr. Chairman, I have one other request. Janet, within our operations here in our county department, you have the absolute right to ask for all of the information you would like to have. And these departments, per regulation, will allocate about 20 minutes to putting together all of this voluminous information that you've been asking for. And I'm going to suggest here, in open meeting, we will then put that information together for you, everything you're asking for, but you will be charged at the rate that this county pays so that we're not doing all of this work on your behalf for free. So you may have the first 20 minutes of everything that you want to put together, audit and review, to your heart's content. But I'm going to put on the record today that we will be charging each department for everything that they put together for you beyond 20 minutes.
Thank you for giving me the answer. I appreciate it. Thank you for. I know you're charging me on that basis, even though I don't have enough money. That's why the state Board of Finance was saying. Stanley County Commissioner and management are doing a very good job. And I said, if they are doing a good job, why are we having a debt of $46 million? Why? Okay. But anyway, I'm going to move it to the other questions, number 11. My question is this. As life insurance is stated here, $30,000 for eligible for the employees, full-time employees, and others. My question, two questions I need to ask. Is this $30,000 life and accidental? Does it apply to the county managers by yourself? Or is there an extra coverage on this life of more than $30,000?
We have contractual obligations. I'd have to defer to our HR director, Mr. Osborne. They vary. This group is, I think, for our general government services, so we have, Austin, 30 on general government, 40 on fire?
Fire?
I can do it. 40 on fire and how much on?
40 on general, 40 on fire, 40 on sheriff.
Okay, so our public safety officials have $40,000 coverage. Everybody else in the county has 30. There is no additional coverages for anybody, management or not.
Okay, thank you. Second question is, now, I understand that you have a coverage on dependent and spouse on health insurance. I'm sorry I take some time because I'm recovering since during Christmas Eve until now. So I'm still recovering. My question to you all is, when the spouse of the employee who is not employed, taxpayer or the resident is paying for the employee's spouse. In addition to that, any dependents at the age of 26. Now my question is that if the employee's dependent who is 26 is working with somebody else, Are we paying for that if that employees that dependents elect to be covered under the counties? Are we paying for that?
Mr. Wynn, would you like to take this?
Are you done with the questions?
Well, the spouse is, you said that dependent spouse, if they are not employed.
Okay, this again, I think, would be a classic example that if you'd ask a simple question ahead of time of our HR director, he can answer, because it's not a simple question to answer. There are a multitude of factors here. Your reference to age 26, I believe you can thank the Affordable Care Act, you know, for some of that. In our last contract negotiations with all three bargaining units, we effectively ceased payment for employee-dependent medical coverage as of July 1st for employees hired on or after July 1st, 2014. So you've got different groups that were grandfathered in under our collective bargaining. But again, Janet, I'm going to stress, as Mr. Gallagher has, as Vice Chairman Gilman has, if you just ask those questions of Austin, you know you're going to get an answer.
Yeah, when I ask the questions by sending to you all, by that time when you respond to me, I would not get any response for you all. So I have to bring up at the meeting itself.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Does anybody else have any questions on items number 9, 10, or 11 under the consent agenda? You're standing? Come on up.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident. My question is under item 9 of payroll checks and account payable checks. On the next to the bottom line, I got a date of 17th of December 2014 for $1,000. I was unable to read what that check was for. Can anybody confirm what that $1,000 payment was for?
I think this falls, Mark, under the question that you should ask before this meeting.
Mr. Gilman, for the record, Mr. Gilman, you've never returned any of my emails, so unless you can answer my question now, you're burning into my time.
Mr.
Here.
Phillips, this question wouldn't be addressed.
I didn't come up here to get spanked.
It wouldn't be addressed to the vice chairman. It would be addressed to either the comptroller's office or the treasurer's office. That's where you would get the
answer. I'm asking for a simple answer right now, Mr. Chairman.
Once again, where we're at is you're looking at us for us to do the research here during a regular.
I resent the fact you've never returned any of my emails.
Pardon me?
I resent the fact you've never returned any of my emails.
Okay.
Maybe we can start the new year.
I think you're off topic now, so let's stay on item 9.
Yeah, $1,000 check dated the 17th of December.
What's the check number, Mark? I'm not finding it.
Do you know what the check number is, Mr. Phillips?
God, if it was on the agenda, that would help, wouldn't it?
I don't think I understand your question. You're the one that brought it up. You have a check number.
I couldn't read it.
You couldn't read it?
I just went and looked at the package. I couldn't read it. That's why I'm asking. And now we're 2 minutes into my time, and we're still arguing.
I don't see a check for $2,000 even.
$1,000?
Okay. I'm not seeing a check for $1,000 on the register.
Did you bring a copy with it? With you?
Did you approach the bench?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this isn't a bench, but yeah.
Date? 17th of December, $1,000. So it's a,
okay. He's pulling that off the page too.
No the
pardon?
There's no proof in the packet for that $1,000.
Miss Neva and I looked and I could not read it. It was unreadable to me.
I don't have any.
It looks separate. Looks like it might be separate from the big list. It would be a separate page, maybe.
I can't derive an answer from the meeting. If you want to defer this to the next meeting, we can come up with an answer. It's up to you. They've been paid already anyway.
We'll have to, Mr. Phillips, what we're going to do, we'll just have to research it and get back to you on this because we don't know.
Okay, I'd like the record to reflect that at my request, nobody was able to find this $1,000 check, and that makes me feel better.
Duly noted.
I can get a new pair of glasses, but if y'all couldn't find it.
Well, I know.
Thank you.
You're asking us to do the research in the middle of a meeting. If we had time to do it downstairs, we could. Thank you. Anyone else have any questions on 9, 10, or 11? Okay. At this time, I'm looking for approval under the consent agenda of items number 9, number 10, and number 11.
I make a motion to approve items number 9, number 10, and number 11.
I'll second that motion.
Been moved and seconded to approve 9, 10, and 11. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. And the motion carries. Great. Thank you.
Could I just add something? This was researched by our treasurer's office, as they should. This is a VCTC expense that was approved by their board. This is a $1,000 earnest money deposit on the Howland Black property.
Okay. Very good. There's the explanation right there. Okay, moving along now to item number 20.
I could not hear. Could I please have my answer?
Yeah, he just gave
it. Gave you your answer. This is a VCTC expense of $1,000 that was earnest money deposited for the purchase of the Howland Black building that was approved by the VCTC board at their last meeting.
The county has purchased property?
No. The VCTC, our books include VCTC expenses.
So this is purchasing property out of the general fund?
No.
Okay.
No. This would have been one of the transfer movements.
Okay, now we're going to move along to item number 20. Sherry?
Good afternoon, Commissioner. Sherry Nevin for the record. You have before you today a memorandum of understanding between the Nevada Rural Counties RSVP program and Story County. We have been working with RSVP here in Story County since about 1973. Back in 94, we secured a van for the River District, and that van has been used since that time by RSVP's volunteers to transport seniors to doctor's appointments and other social activities. And what we're looking to do today is just formalize that agreement, what RSVP is going to do and what we are going to do. Story County has historically maintained the vehicle, providing insurance, maintenance, and fuel. RSVP has provided the drivers for that vehicle. So it's a pretty straightforward agreement, but I wanted to get something formal in place of what we've been doing for years. So if you have any questions for me.
Yes, this is... I understand it's held in Lyon County. It's kind of a lot.
No, the van is actually based in the River District. It's in Lockwood, and it's used for RSVP has taken it into Carson for different things if they've got to take people. I mean, if they want to take it up here to a commissioner's meeting, they can do it, as long as an RSVP-trained volunteer drives that vehicle.
Gentlemen, do you have anything on this?
No, I'm quite familiar with the program, and I think it's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
It's been well done down in the Lockwood community.
Yep.
So I commend them, and I certainly believe we need to.
Yeah, it's a terrific program.
Yeah, terrific program.
Yes, it is. Anybody else want to have anything to say on this? Anybody testify? See, who's there? Ms. Bart?
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. Just one question. Is this memorandum of understanding between the county and RSVP predominantly for the RSVP services in Lockwood?
Anyway, I'll let Sherry follow up on that.
This is more on the whole for RSVP in Story County, while that van is based in the River District, but the services they provide are countywide.
Okay, so Mark Twain has RSVP services.
Yep.
The Highlands has RSVP services. So you go out and assess and then deliver services to all of the communities?
Yes, RSVP has been in our county since 1973. Okay. They're here weekly. They are probably most active, I would say, in the Lockwood community. They are here in Virginia City. They have a field rep that kind of serves Virginia City, Highlands, and Mark Twain. They work with the senior centers and do other outreach.
Because the way it reads Lockwood, and I just wanted to clarify that, this, find out if that service supports my community as well as the others. So it does.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else have any concerns?
I make a motion to approve the Memorandum of Understanding as presented on the consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
Very good. It's been moved to second to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between Nevada Rural County's Retired and Senior Volunteer Program and Story County. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Thank you. Now we're going to move back here to item number 14. This is the discussion only. We'll take no action. This is a presentation by the Bureau of Land Management, Carson City District, regarding their draft resource management plan, RMP, environmental impact statement, EIS, the 120-day public comment period runs from November the 28th, 2014, through March 27th, 2015. Hard copy of the draft document is available for you in the planning department. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Colleen Sievers. I work for the BLM in Carson City District. I'm the Resource Management Plan Project Lead. Also with me today is Ralph Thomas, our new district manager, Leon Thomas, the Sierra Front Field Manager, and Lisa Ross, our Public Affairs Officer. And I just wanted to provide the Commission and the community a quick overview of our resource management plan revision process that we're currently going through. The presentation kind of focuses It does focus on Story County and just covers some highlights. There are lots of resources and uses I did not cover, just trying to hit the highlights. Okay. The Carson City District covers about almost 9 million acres within our planning area. We have 4.8 million acres of BLM-managed lands. We cover 11 counties and 2 states. Our current resource management plan, and I'm going to abbreviate it RMP, is dated back in 2001, and since that time, a lot of things have changed. Some of those decisions in that document are outdated, and a lot of new issues have come forward that we need to provide some management for. So we're going through our draft process. In Story County, BLM has about 15,000 acres. We started scoping our project back in early 2012. We received just over 1,700 comments on issues that we wanted to address, or comments that the public had of things that we needed to address or look at. We have 27 cooperating agencies participating in our project. Story County is a cooperating agency. We do have a signed memorandum of understanding, and the county has been very active in communicating some of the desires that the county would like us to consider in that document, and they've been at the table the whole time. We've had more than 110 public meetings or presentations on this document, so there's been a lot of opportunity for the public to participate and voice their thoughts. We have 5 alternatives that we have considered in our document. Alternative A is the no action alternative. It's current management. Alternative B is more of a resource use intense kind of alternative. It has the fewest protected areas and the fewest restrictions. Alternative C is a conservation emphasis alternative. It has the most restrictions in that area and also the most special designations under that alternative. Alternative D is an urban interface alternative where we have recreation and land tenure changes that are really intense along the Sierra Front, and we've tried to kind of capture that and tailor that alternative to address those needs. Alternative E is the agency preferred. It's kind of a mix of all of those alternatives, picking and choosing what would be the BLM preferred. One thing to keep in mind is that this is a draft document. We have the opportunity to choose any of the bits and pieces from the alternatives, so when we move forward with a final environmental impact statement, we can actually have a new alternative that is picked of the pieces of all of them. We don't have to choose one solid alternative now. We can we can adapt things as we go. One of the things we wanted to highlight was the Virginia City National Historic Landmark. Under several of the alternatives, we have proposed it as an area of critical environmental concern, an ACEC, with some specific management actions identified for the NHL. Some of those include being closed to non-energy mineral leasing, such as potassium, sodium. Those are non-energy leasables. Close to mineral material disposals, like sand and gravel. It would become a right-of-way avoidance area. It would become a right-of-way exclusion area for wind development. Visual resource management class 2, trying to protect the visual setting. And we also talked about special recreation permits would not be authorized. Under alternative C, the most conservative alternative. Under the BLM preferred, alternative E, it's still closed to non-energy mineral leasing. It would still be a right-of-way avoidance area, still be a right-of-way exclusion area for wind development. The VRM class would be 3. It would be open to special recreation permits. And for fluid mineral leasing, it would we would apply a no-surface occupancy within that boundary that we've identified in the document, trying to provide some management guidance. Under alternative E, however, there is no ACEC designation. We've called it out and identified some special management for it to still provide some protective measures for the historic district. For recreation and travel management, we have not identified any special recreation management areas. Those are areas, SRMAs, where recreation is the primary focus. We do have an ERMA, which is extensive recreation management area, where recreation is equal to the other uses that are occurring out there, but we do need some special management to facilitate those recreational opportunities. And I did put in a map so that you could kind of gauge, zoomed in. All of our maps are printed on 8.5 by 11, and it's really hard to kind of see. So the map in the presentation kind of zooms into those. Currently, all of Story County is undesignated for off-highway travel, and we manage it as open, which means you can go cross-country. Under alternative E, the BLM preferred, we are proposing to change that to limited to existing roads and trails. The next step in the process that comes after the decision for the resource management plan will be actual travel management planning, where we go in and look at all of the roads, which ones are should we keep open, which ones should be closed, are there duplicates, do we need to have parking areas to facilitate recreational opportunities, campgrounds, staging areas, those kinds of things. But that's a step further down, several years out. One thing we did talk about and look at within our document was lands identified for disposal. Currently within Story County, we have 13,000 acres or thereabout available for disposal. So out of the 15,000 acres in Story County that BLM manages, 13,000 of those are currently available for disposal. Within the range of alternatives, pretty much every acre of BLM-managed land is available for disposal within the range of alternatives. We were kind of trying to make sure that we address things so that should legislation not be passed, there were still opportunities for the county to purchase land or for the public to have opportunities for land. Where we are in our timeline, we are in a 120-day public comment period. That does end the end of March. We do have 6 public meetings planned. Our first meeting is in Reno on January 13th. We have one in Carson City, one in Urington, Hawthorne, Fallon, and Minden. And we are looking for the public to come out, visit with the specialists, look at the alternatives, and have some conversations. Come in about a year or so from now, we will be working through a final EIS, and then that will come back out for public review. So, and the last slide is kind of how to provide comments. The document is available on our website. We do have some CDs that are available. There are hard copies throughout our district if people wanted to look at an actual hard copy. So I'd be happy to take questions. That's just kind of a quick overview.
May I make a roll comment?
Hold on a second.
In the historic district itself, how many acres of land does the BLM oversee?
I do not have that off the top of my head.
Okay.
I can get back to you with that, though.
So, in the event that the BLM were to go ahead and to get rid of the 13,000 acres mm-hmm. that are available to get rid of, including the 1,745 that Congress passed yes. about 3 to 4 weeks ago, mm-hmm. you're down to about zero, aren't you, on how
right.
much land BLM would be their oversight would be in the county?
Yes. One of the steps with disposal is the resource management plan has to, we're required to identify lands that are available for disposal. Then Joe Public comes in with a proposal to purchase 100 acres or whatever. That goes through a separate environmental process because our resource management plan does not get into the fine details about what cultural resources are out there or that kind of minute, you know, specifics. So there's still another step. With the congressional action, once it's signed into law, we comply with that per the legislation. So
Story County could end up with what Lincoln County wants, right?
There's the potential.
Go ahead.
With a price tag on a lot of those disposals,
yes.
not on the public lands bill. First, I want to recognize that the new state director is here, and it's always good to see Mr. Thomas join us as well. Thank you, gentlemen, and you as well. Unless this commission either today or at some other time, and I mean this is agendized as discussion only, so they can't today, advises staff differently, I think you can anticipate through Austin and Desi's continued participation at the scoping meetings that we will want to continue to foster, particularly within the historic district area, inclusive of some that might be out. We want to foster special events and ease of special events such as the Grand Prix, the endurance ride, those types of things to any extent that we can. And viewshed protection from wind farm resources will continue to be critical for us on lands that you own. So that those have been our top two priorities for well over a decade now. And should you want those changed, please let me know.
May I add one thing?
Mm-hmm.
That Washoe County borders, and if we were to put a wind farm up there, it could actually be in Washoe County outside of the district. Within one of our alternatives, we've actually extended that wind exclusion area over the whole Virginia range to protect the setting to Virginia City.
Bless you.
We've considered that within there. So.
Thank you.
Commissioner McGuffey?
I guess my biggest concern is that you had a couple key plugs there was closing roads and then determining what kind of recreation. So that would be a concern of mine. With our recreation up here in the rural counties, pretty much off-roading, you know, dirt bike quads and all that, along with some hunting as well. So I think you lose those off.
When BLM goes into that travel management planning process, that is a completely public process where we will go back out to the public with maps of these are the roads, what kind of concerns, did we miss some roads, where do they want to see those recreational opportunities occur. And at that time, Story County certainly can be a cooperating agency on that process to be at the table with us again to participate, to keep those kinds of concerns in the forefront.
Well, I very much support Mr. Whitten's suggestion that we have staff and Austin Osborne, and we need to join the cause, participate in the meetings, and pay close attention to how the outcome works.
And this is a good cooperative relationship that the local government has with the federals. I think people sometimes like to bash BLM, and you guys do move in different ways than we may sometimes, but in the end, we all get it accomplished, and we're appreciative of your efforts, and especially your guidance in helping us actually hopefully resolve the public lands issues, you know, here in Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Mark Twain. I mean, this was simply a fallback provision that if it didn't get passed, we still had other avenues to pursue, and this has been done with BLM's encouragement and instigation, I guess, even clear up to Amy. So, thank you.
I'm going to assume, is there a wild horse component within the BLM or the city?
Yes, there definitely is. And we did talk about wild horses within the document about which herd management areas needed, if their boundaries needed any kind of an adjustment. and how to manage those, yes.
Anything else? Anything else? Yeah? No? Oh, great.
Okay.
Thank you for taking time out of your day.
Thank you for your time.
And Mr. Chairman, while you begin to call staff up under item 15, please be advised that I've asked staff in the interest of a late start today and a full agenda to be brief, if non-commenting on most of their staff reports, with the exception of our comptroller.
Okay. How about we start with VCTC, Danny Dotson? Very good. Ms. Redmond? Mr. Osborne?
I just bring a couple things up. There's some dates I want to let the public and some of us be aware of. As you know, we've been working on the master plan update, and we're also working on a zoning update. It's not a comprehensive zoning update, but it's cleaning up things we've experienced in the last couple of years since the last draft was ratified by this board. And we've experienced some things, and we're going to make some things a little bit better. And so that will be brought to the Planning Commission at the 15th of this month. And we'll discuss some things. There'll be no action because I want the public to have a chance to look at it. And then in addition to that, on February 5th, there may be action on some of those recommendations, but there also will be a workshop for the master plan, and the land use chapter is substantially completed in draft form, an emphasized draft in rough, but that will be heard at the February 5th Planning Commission meeting, and we're likely going to hold that meeting at the high school training room. And if anybody doesn't know where that is, that's literally at the southeast corner of the high school, down on the south entrance, and that's kind of an area where we can sit in horseshoe shape and interact a little bit better for a workshop. The website will also have all these documents, or does have all these documents, and it's at storycounty.org/planning/updates.asp. And so I wanted to let everyone know, be aware of that, and they're able to contact me or anyone from our staff with these updates, with these documents, or just go online and look at them themselves and bring their comments to the Planning Commission meetings. And then that is it. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Representing Community Chest and Library, Mr. Griffin, Sean, you're sitting today. And staff.
Thank you.
Sean Griffin, Community Chest, and I'll introduce the women with me 1 second. So you've just received a colored flyer announcing our open house at the Story County Health and Wellness Hub, and that's January 21st, 4 to 7. I'd really like it if everybody in the room could come, the whole community could come, and especially the commissioners. This will be the opportunity to see the library in its full functioning, and also to introduce the Comprehensive Wellness Health and Wellness Hub. There'll be medical services there, there'll be case manager there, there'll be mental health there, we'll have interns there. This is a pretty unique model in terms of trying to integrate both health and wellness services and obviously the library, which we are trying to mend and repair and put back to life in that facility. So on the second page of the hours of the library, we are offering services 2 days a week in Virginia City, also in Mark Twain and Lockwood, and soon we will hope to be out in the Highlands. Just a note on that, we had a really good fundraiser in November, and one of the volunteers contributed over 140 hours, and she's getting those hours matched by Chevron, so we'll be getting another $1,000 donation from her work. It's really come full circle, and the library is now fully open, so I strongly encourage all of you to come. I want to introduce Ronnie Gallis to my left. She's Director of Nursing at Carson City Health and Human Services, and Tammy Bauman, Nurse Practitioner, to my right, also from Carson City Health and Human Services. We've worked for about 6 months to get an agreement together to provide health services once again in Story County. You're all aware that Community Health Alliance, formerly HOC, left Story County in July. It's taken a lot of effort. I want to really congratulate and publicly thank Bonnie and her staff, Nikki Aker, County Manager, for making this happen. It's not been simple to put together the comprehensive set of services we need, but we finally reached that point, and that's why we're having the open house. So the clinic will be open on Wednesday, and that's when and it will commence this Wednesday, and our open house will be in 3 weeks. I'm going to let them talk specifically about the services that both our community health nurse and our nurse practitioner will provide, and then maybe answer any questions. But the best news is, after a long journey, it's opening, and the library is fully open and fully operational, so we're thrilled. So I'm going to defer to Ronnie and Tammy.
Thank you, sir. For the record, my name is Veronica Gallus. It's changed to Ronnie a long time ago. We live in a fast food world, and 4 syllables was way too much for everybody. So I'm of the Archie and comic book era. But anyway, so with Carson City Health and Human Services, we provide public health services. And so what that means is we provide mostly preventative health services. So we'll be able to provide men, women, and children checkups, and like for children and parents and families, developmental screenings for children, hearing screenings, visions, and working with parents to talk about what's expected if a child is 2 months old at this point, what's expected at 4 months and 6 months, and to help parents in the growth and development of children. And for men and women, it is most of us are recommended to have annual checkups. Some of us do that, some of us don't. And as part of that checkup, it is different screening types of things, so blood sugar screening, high blood pressure screening. We unfortunately, public health does not provide primary care, so we don't do sick care. The exception to that is men and women's sexual health. So part of public health's role is to prevent the spread of sexually transmitted diseases. So we do screenings and testing for folks when they have symptoms. We provide family planning, immunizations, and certainly counseling of folks who want to quit smoking. So it's a real focus on preventative health in the community, and we're excited to be here.
I'll just give a quick background. My name is Tammy Bowman, nurse practitioner. I'm a women's health nurse practitioner and certified nurse midwife, and I've been with Carson City Health and Human Services since 2007, providing public health services. And we're very excited to be here. It's a new community, and, of course, those always bring us new challenges. So, again, we are really focused on preventative health measures, immunizations for children and adults, for that matter. Passed out a flyer, and I'll pass them out to the audience as well, about what we do offer. And we'll all be available at the open house as well as starting this Wednesday. I'll be here for our first day. A community health nurse that works with us and myself will be alternating Wednesdays. She's does more well childs and immunizations, and I will be doing more of the adult patient care. Okay. Thank you.
May I? Yeah, go ahead. Well, before you guys leave, I want to say something from the bottom of my heart that I have said to Nick, I have said to Mayor Kroll, and 3 of my favorite people are now up there. These 2 ladies, with Sean's leadership and taking the responsibility of trying to find solutions for this, but these 2 ladies work for an organization that truly is the epitome of what regionalization can accomplish. We've been working closely with Carson City Health for environmental health services, you know, trying to get that done and the legislation that may or may not be required. And when the void that HOC left, when they left, you were just simply the one and only go-to, and you've risen to every occasion. The flu shot clinic that I attended down in Mark Twain with the gift bag that had both the Story County logo and the Carson City Health and Human Services was stellar. It goes on vacation with me now. It was that good. So I think we need to, again, recognize not only Sean for community chest leadership, because he does stuff none of us can, but also the whole organization in Carson City Health and Human Services. They're great. Thank you.
Exactly.
And I have told Nick that. If he hasn't told you, remind me.
Any other questions about the open house, the library, or the upcoming health clinic?
Commissioner McGuffey, any questions?
No, not at this time. I think I will visit the health clinic and ask some more questions, personal questions.
Great. Great.
Good job, well done. You're all welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We missed your services, and Sean, you've done a wonderful job organizing this. Thank you so very much.
Well, it was, you know, I'm a figurehead. You probably recognize that, but there's a lot of great people working with us, and I know Ronnie and her staff and the leadership in Carson City made this happen. Everybody worked on it on our staff. And Debbie, my spouse, has been very integral in bringing this health services hub idea to Story County, which is huge. This is not just a medical clinic. It's not just a library. We're not just offering jobs, counseling. It's the whole package around health and wellness. So we're trying to change the way health and wellness is delivered here. So
that's great. Well, thank you. I mean, I want to sound like a broken record, but you do have a great staff. But it is the leadership that makes it all come together, Sean. So.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
You guys do a wonderful job. I don't know how we wouldn't be able to pull this off without you down there. But we could do it.
Thank you very much.
And we know it. Okay, let's move along. Mr. Gallagher, anything out of the comptroller's office today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. I was during our last meeting of the year, staff was given the recommendation to search out the possibility for giving some relief to the tax rates for personal and real property taxes for not only real but personal property. In looking at this, we were trying to ascertain, the objective is to try and ascertain how much 1 cent of ad valorem will generate in tax dollars. Not an easy task at all. But the amounts that we will eventually get will come from the Department of Taxation, and that's called the Pro Forma Property Tax Projection Plan. It is published on March 25th, of every year. Which will include all abatements, which we need to take a look at. We have solicited the some help from Mr. Tom Gransberry, who is retired from the Department of Taxation, Local Government Finance, who has spent about 22 years at this thing. So we have got the expert in the field to take us through this this long and important and task of ours. First of all, a couple of timelines that we have to look at. January 31st, the assessor's office must submit what they call a segregation report, which will include all assessed values for both real and personal property. By March 5th of 2015, the Department of Taxation prepares a preliminary revenue projections report, which will include existing secured values, existing unsecured values, existing centrally assessed secured values, and existing centrally assessed unsecured values. In addition, all new properties from July 1st of 2014 will be assessed. And we must note that for those properties, there will not be any abatements since it is the initial tax rate for that personal property or that property in general. This report will document all net assessed values for which the tax rate is applied. On March 5th of 2015, the final segregation report is prepared by the assessor, which pretty much fine-tunes everything from the January 31st report, but also includes all of the conclusions and decisions by the County Board of Equalization if they decide to lower somebody's property values for one reason or another. All of that now comes into play. Then by March 10th, the county treasurer will complete the Story County portion of a pro forma report and submit that to the Department of Taxation. By March 15th, the Department of Taxation will then publish the final revenue projections, and by March 25th, the Department of Taxation will publish the pro forma property tax projection statewide. It is this report that we will then fine-tune all of the numbers by which we will get what 1 cent of value we'll look at. We will continually do that, so we're just not going to start then. Tom and I will get with whatever values we can and update as we get more information available. Obviously, by April 15th, the Department of Taxation is due the tentative budget. We will approve a tentative budget, obviously, prior to that. And by June 1st, the final budget for the 2015-16 year must be submitted to the Department of Taxation. Of course, we'll have our meeting probably sometime prior to that. That schedule is not out by the Department of Taxation as of yet. It is during that period of time that I believe we will have the best window of opportunity in order to make a very accountable, discernible representation as to what our best values are. And hopefully, by that time, the legislature will be over. Understanding that there are some roadblocks that are going to be assessed during this next legislative session. We have no idea how the governor is going to finance education. We know that proposal was defeated. He's got to find some money for that. We do not know about any of the unfunded mandates that may come across from the legislature. But hopefully, we will be able to ascertain that and also by that time figure out what the existing cap remains on every single business and every single residence within Story County. Hopefully, by that time, we will have a report on, at least by the Department of Taxation, on how solid our assessed valuations are, the process itself. So it's a long journey, but it's one that's going to be taken professionally and responsible. We will do the best job we can with this. We will give you obviously the best information that we have, and so from here we will at whatever intervals we can or whatever you desire, we'll give you updates on where we are as to the process.
Thank you. Any questions for you?
No, wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
Yeah.
We don't take questions through staff.
Just one
Thank
question.
You. I'll move along now to the Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Antonoro? Just before this meeting concludes today, there's public comment. You can ask questions at that time. Okay.
Just one thing real quick to let people know. Had a good holiday weekend. Only one shooting happened in town, so that's a win. That's what I want to talk about. There was a shooting in town. However, it was an accidental discharge where the owner of the firearm shot himself. So any rumors about wild gunmen running down the street are totally untrue. Purely an accident, and he's paying the price for it. Be a lot of pain from that slug that went through his leg. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. District Attorney Langer?
Nothing to add today.
Deputy Gables?
Not today.
Not today? Special Counsel Morris?
Nothing today.
County Manager Whitman?
Nothing today.
Three real quick things. Senate Bill 1 of the special session of 2014 allowed negotiations on what's called a government services agreement that's helping us receive monies for certain costs in certain areas, and also allows for negotiation of business licensing and permitting on the Tesla project, specific to the Tesla project. Those talks continue on under both Bob Morris's leadership and Bill Maddox from a legal perspective and myself. We've met with them on two occasions, and we have a third meeting scheduled for later this week. I received notification today that we're about ready to start the bill draft requests disseminations from the Legislative Council Bureau, so those will be coming out. As you know, we have basically a three-pronged approach for primary lobbying at the state level and monitoring. That would be Maggie Lowther, Mary Walker, and Walker & Associates, and Bob Hess. So they're all in the loop and in place and ready to watch for BDRs, both good and bad. And then we will begin once every two-week meetings with the legislative coalition that Mary Walker's group leads, and that's Lyon Carson Douglas's story. And the last, and I'm going to go ahead and just say this, Austin and Dessa, you can kill me, but one little pearl of wisdom I learned today that I think is important for the general public that might be wanting to review master plan documents. A lot of these documents are coming out at 2 a.m. on a Saturday morning or 7 p.m. on a Friday night. We want to make them available to you as we're looking at them. So you're going to see drafts. You're going to see typos. You're going to see funky things where pictures are inserted. You know, it's a polishing process as we go. We're not going to wait until the last minute and dump a whole master plan on the general public. So I ask for your understanding as you're looking at those. You're seeing them essentially in the same real time that the other staffs are, the department heads, the planning commissioners, and those folks. So that's it.
Great. Thank you. Anything from the clerk's office, Ms. Evans? No? We also have an attendance. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention ex officiato Commissioner Shevagin. Thanks for attending today.
Be brief, nothing.
Very good.
There is no bad news.
All right. Have I missed any staff?
No, sir.
Everybody covered? All right. That being said, we'll go ahead and move along now to item number 16, board comments. Commissioner McGuffey?
First day, first day jitters kind of thing. I'm more nervous than, I don't know why, I'm pretty nervous today. And, I did club up my lines on the swear again. I cut myself, but it was, couldn't correct it fast enough. I'm proud to be serving Story County in this capacity. I really am. And I plan on doing the best I can for you. And I really look forward to working with Commissioner Gilman and Marshall. They're great people. They're very sharp. And I think they're kind of natural at this job. So I feel like I'm in good company. And I also like to welcome Ms. Langer.
Thank you.
So we're going to be partners for a while. So I would like to thank all of you for supporting me and putting me in this place. Thank you.
Mr. Gilman.
I bid him welcome. Trial by fire, you're going to get real comfortable real quick.
Welcome. That's great. Welcome, Commissioner McGuffey. Watch out for the district attorney. I think she keeps a ruler in her purse down there.
How'd you know?
Anyway, well, she's got two backups over here, so we really got.
I would like to thank the other two commissioners for electing me as the chairman. I appreciate your confidence and interest in me in this position. In light of what's gone on in the last month or so with the riots in Ferguson, Missouri, and New York City, we sometimes have political bantering that goes on in this county. But I think I'd be remiss if I didn't say that this board has confidence and trust in our local law enforcement. county, statewide.
You hear the reprehensible things that a mayor of New York could say about this team. It's just wrong. And to hear protesters chanting in the street, kill cops, it's just wrong. So I'm happy we live here with this. This is really nice.
Thank you. That being said, we're going to take about a 10-minute recess. We've been going about 90 minutes, and everybody needs to get a drink of water, walk around a little bit. So we'll be right back.